Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. It's a good day in the house of God. God's always doing something in us. And I'm so glad you guys are here with hungry hearts. And, you know, maybe there's just something in you that made you come to church today and didn't keep you in bed, and that's a good thing. I think we are all called to be together. And, you know, last week I had the privilege to preach, and my husband wasn't here, so he wasn't the one that could give me the sign. So my son told me afterwards, "Man, Mom, you went long." So I have my husband here today, no worries. We'll get you out of here. But nevertheless, the message that God had given me is rich and full, just like his word. And when we come and partake of that, it will change our lives. And so the message title again, as I finish up and repeat some of the last week's, is We All Build. We all build life. We are all building our lives. Things were built in the womb, then we came out of our mother's womb, and then we started building. Our muscles were building, our mind was building, our strength was building, our social abilities. There's so many things we build. We fall, we get up, we learn, we grow, we build, right? So that's just Jesus Christ himself was born as a babe, and he had to learn and he had to grow, and he probably fell down a couple of times before he could stood up and actually walk. Well, he went beyond us. He now walks on water. So it's pretty amazing what God can do. And what God wants to do in us and through us. And I want to remind you today that, you know, we all build. And it depends on us what we're doing with our building. God has given me a lot of points out of the letter Paul wrote to the first to the Corinthians. So the first letter to the Corinthians is really what I'm after and where I found my points. And the first, I said last week, it's like a shelf. I want there's four items that I want you to build a shelf with. And when I preach, you just put them in on the right shelf. It will help you, okay? So the first question that God asks us in 1 Corinthians is, how do I build? If you have a notebook or if you write things down, please write, how do I build? Second, with what material do I build? Third, am I faithfully building? And my main focus will be on that one today. And the fourth one, with who am I building? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. And I'm going to read that really quick because it's just a repetition from last week. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation, that's Paul saying, as a wise builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, or should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. I love that heart of God. He's out to give us our rewards. Isn't that beautiful? That's God's heart towards us. If it is burned up, though, if we didn't build that great, right, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Wow. We all build, but will we build well, sturdy, and successfully? You know, I think it is really important to understand that we build on a firm foundation, a solid foundation, a good foundation. Last week I had some building blocks up here. And it really, really depends on how your foundation is, how high you can go. And it's really important that we know that we are on a solid foundation, because if we build on a non-solid foundation, at some point, a rainstorm, something will come, and our what we build years invested in might crumble. And God doesn't want things to crumble. God wants us to build well, right? So he says, that foundation is laid For all humans on this earth, there is a foundation to be laid in Christ. You must be born again to go to heaven. If anybody, you know, wants to go to heaven, you must be born again. And we can be a new creation in Christ. I think that's the foundation. If we allow God to be God in our life, if we take his outstretched hand that he said, I saved you. You know, I'm not all that good in my own. And I have made mistakes or partaken of sin. I needed a savior. And I'm so glad I don't have to carry the eternal consequences of my mistakes or my hardened heart. Jesus came and he said, I'll go and take all punishment so you can believe in me and be free and be reconnected with the Father in heaven when sin had separated us. So Christ is really, if we know that, if we believe that, we are, the Bible says, are born again. We believe, and it makes a whole difference in how we build our lives and how well and successful we can build our lives. Many of us have had breakdowns. Many of us had to rebuild again, and it's not easy when you lose everything and have to rebuild again. But you know, God is a good God. He allows us to rebuild, and he wants us to build on a solid foundation, which is a revelation of him and who he is. And so I want to encourage you. So go to the next point. How do I build? You know, God wants us to build with the right attitude. Have you ever been seen somebody who's building something? He's just cursing and, you know, nothing is right. And he throws the hammer and he, you know, it's just, it matters how we build. And I think it matters if we have a blueprint to build. Have you ever seen somebody who builds something and not quite know where it's going to go? And at the end, nothing really fits together. And God has that, you know, that puzzle piece, and he puts puzzle pieces in, and at the end, something so amazingly beautiful, just like you. You guys are amazingly beautiful. Only a God, only a caring, loving, kind God could make us, and he did. And how do we build? You know, what's the character of how we build? Do we build out of anger, out of frustration? Do we build out of faith and revelation of who God is and who we are? You know, in 1 Corinthians, it's that scripture. I love that when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for us who love him. So with him, we can see and hear and perceive so much more of God. But we have to have that foundation. And I think anything coming out of that foundation, that life with Jesus, will help us build very well. So I encourage you, look in your own heart and check, how do I build? How do I build? And the second point, with what material do I build? Again, it says here, you know, if anyone builds on this foundation, that's verse 12, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. No matter what we do in life, our work will be shown for what it is. Words are very cheap. I don't know if you, if you struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with words people say and not do. It's something I have the need to be with people who are honest, who can share, who can have difficult conversations because they love you. It's very hard for people, very hard for me to hear people, I do that all the time, I come all the time, and then you see the no-show and then not coming through. And for me, in my heart of hearts, I love people whose word is their bond, who actually walk it out, who walk out what they say. If they make a commitment and they're going to be there, even though it had some consequences and some stuff happened, they're going to be there. And so my heart can relate or rely. That's the right one. My heart can rely on people like that. And I found that in many, and I love that. But I'm always a little bit perturbed when people so easily say, oh, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do that, and then don't follow through. I think it's something of living out of covenant. If my husband says something to me, he doesn't just flippantly say it. If he says something, he will do it. And I trust him, and that's why we have a good covenant. And I think God looks at that too. God looks at how we act, because words can really be beautiful and powerful, but words can also be cheap when they're not followed up with the corresponding action, right? So let's just, you know, I need to question myself, and I hope you will be challenged today by this message as well. So with what material do I build? What's the quality of my work? And God brings in these four materials: gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw. Obviously, you know, sometimes we build in the dark. We don't build out of revelation with God and his call and out of obedience to his word. If we build on our own, it's like building in the dark. And so it says here, the day will bring it to light. I mean, on the inspector will come at daytime and he will say, whoops, there's some marks and here you didn't paint good enough. And, you know, in the day you see so much better. So the day will come when our works will be seen, and then they will also be tested by fire. I rather build with gold, silver, and costly stones than with wood, hay, and stubble, because I know what will make it through the fire. And I so desire to lay something before God's throne. And you know, costly gems, they're forged through a lot of pressure in the stones, and especially diamonds, you know, it's forged with a lot of pressure. And I think as we fight our fights his way, if we fight his fights and we win the victories that he has prepared for us, if we walk in his ways, we do become that diamond. Not so much in the rough anymore, but we will be cut beautifully. And that's my heart's desire, that we as a church can lay before God when he comes and give him that gold, silver, and those costly stones. And I had asked myself, and I said that last week, I struggled with it. I said, God, so what is the gold, silver, and costly stones? And what is the rest that will burn off? And there's a couple of things that came to my heart. And one of them is, you know, in the same chapter, actually, not chapter, but the same letter in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know, what will stay is faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. If we build in faith with hope and love, I think we got a good chance to give God back some gold, silver, and costly stones when he comes. And also another scripture, when it talks about what's the kingdom of God made of, and the kingdom of God consists of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are all deep things of God. And I think if we live in that, out of that joy and that peace and that knowing who we are, the righteousness of God, because he took our sin and we are in right standing. We live in that connection, in that relationship, in that right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ did. And also that will lead us to a life where we can give back to God when he comes. And it all ties into, if you look at a wedding band, a lot of times women, we have the costly stone, which a lot of times is a diamond in a wedding band, but also the costly silvers and golds that make up a wedding band. And I think if we just look at that covenant that we have with one another, it's that same covenant. If we live out of that covenant with God, that closeness, that way he can trust us. He can give. We are hungry for his presence, his word, and his will. If we live out of that relationship, knowing who he is and getting to know him all our life long, I'm not done today. I still make mistakes. I still have rotten attitudes at times and yell at my kids, come on now. You know, the reality is I have not arrived. Those who know me closely know that. And I'm not ashamed to say that I don't have to be perfect. I follow him who is. And if I fall, he will pick me up. And that's coming later to the story about faithfulness. We've all missed it in that area, but God is a good God and a forgiving God and a helping God. So I want to encourage you to look at how you build and which material you build. The third question was, am I faithfully building? And it says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 3, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God or the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So we have been given that revelation. We've been given that foundation to build on. We've given that hearing ear and seeing eye and that relationship, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we have that, this is like a trust. This is something very precious. Has to do with a covenant. It's almost like if I'm married to Bob, I'm not gonna go and find another man. We have that trust between us, and that covenant between us, and we are supposed out of that whatever God has given us already to be faithful with that. And to prove actually faithful. Wow. So what that means is when we build anything, it means you don't only start, you finish. You stick to it. You do it over and over. You don't give in. You don't give up. You set your mind to it. And it takes a lot of character strength to build something through. I mean, those of you who have built a building, those of you who have raised children, the ups and downs, the struggles, the beautiful moments, you know, it's not something you can just say, I'm really done today. Maybe in 3 weeks I'll be back again. And you know, fatherhood and motherhood that way doesn't work. Some of you probably have experienced that in that room where you were taken in and out. That's just not how God designed it. God designed it with stability and structure and boundaries and lots of love and lots of laughter and lots of growing and making mistakes and being forgiving and learning how to handle life and learning how to move forward and find the giftings and the callings that God has given you and then stick with those and make a big difference in this world. So I want to encourage you to build faithfully. It is funny to me, faithfulness, if you look at a church life, you know, we have some new people here and we're so glad you're here. But if it wasn't for faithful people, new people could never come in and find a church. There would be no churches if it wasn't for faithful people. It's the faithful people others can come to. It's not just the pastor. We're not the church. You are the church. And you are important, every one of you. But if you weren't faithful, nobody could come. There would be no church doors open. And nobody would have a spiritual home that God, that machine that God called to bring the kingdom from heaven down to this earth. Where we declare the will of God and where we are forging the kingdom forward. And it's a privilege to be part of that kingdom of God and enlarging it. But if it wasn't for the faithful, it could never be built. It could never grow because there wouldn't be any doors open. If it wasn't for the faithful givers in this house, we couldn't pay the bills. So also the doors would be closed. And you know, I believe in these end times, in these times when our inspectors come in soon to look at our lives and give us our reward, I believe it's such a privilege that and a plan of God that God wants to make his bride, his church, beautiful. That covenant relationship again in that picture of a bride and a bridegroom, right? It's beautiful. And I want to congratulate all those who made our house here their home. And it's a privilege to see your faces over and over and over, because in that, you're showing God that you're taking his trust serious, that you're reliable, that you're pursuing him, that you're faithful, that it says, prove faithful. And it's a joy to see you, and it's a joy to see new people. Because this is a house that welcomes new people, and we're excited that you're here. But this is just a compliment to those who've been in this house for so long and faithfully coming. And I believe sometimes there's probably some of us that don't feel like going to church. You know, maybe we're fighting some sickness or some tiredness or being overwhelmed with life at times, but we know that God called us to the house on a regular basis. Do not forsake the coming together, right? And so we come, and it's not about us, but so many times it's when we come, somebody else needed our smile, our hug, our encouragement, and to go beyond, I just go to church because I need it. today. I'm really needing it today. I'm going to church. I haven't gone for 3 months, but today I'm going. It's like God's calling you to more gold than that. God's calling your attitude out and your faithfulness out. How can you be bringing fruit when you go here and there and there? God calls us all to be planted in the house of God so we can be, so we can bring fruit. It is so important. That's the call of God in this earth to the churches. And that faithfulness matters so much. I think that's why the next story I want to go into with Moses, faithfulness matters so much that God takes it so serious. And if you ever been in a relationship, and maybe you lost someone, you lost a spouse, you lost a child, and that grief of losing that faithful one in your life is almost like something you can't overcome, because someone who's faithful to you brings stability to you. Someone who's faithful to you brings joy to your soul. It makes you build even higher. That's why godly friendships and godly relationships are so extremely important. And God has that for us. God wants to have that friendship with us personally, but also to extend that out to one another, right? And that makes our lives rich. So let's look at one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:58 describes faithfulness beautifully. It says, and my husband did that yesterday at the man's breakfast, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's not in vain when you come and serve in the house of God. It's not in vain when you love your neighbor. It's not in vain when you're faithfully raising your kids. It's not going to be in vain if you go to do your job and make an income so you can provide for your kids. All these things that show your faithfulness are not in vain. It might feel like it sometimes. It's like, oh, I don't feel a lot of reward, but God sees, God knows, and your harvest is coming. That's what he's promising us. So keep on going, you know. Being steadfast really means being not easily excited or upset. You're stationary. You sit in one place for a very long time, like moms and dads, right? Once you have those children, you can't just off and go if you want to be a good mom or dad. So it's that being there and being there and being there through the good and the bad, just like, you know, your marriage vows. You're just being there, and that will make a big difference, a God difference, and God will bless that. So, let's go into the Old Testament now with the story of Moses. I don't want to go too far in it because I preached on it last week, but I think we have so many people who weren't here last week, it needs just at least to for me to read through it. So Numbers 12, 1 to 16 says, "Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. 'Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?' they asked. 'Hasn't he also spoken through us?' Huh?" And the Lord heard this. I want to stop right here. So Miriam and Aaron are Moses' brother and sister. They went through a lot together. Man, their church was going through the ups and downs for years, in and out, wars and the slavery in Egypt. And they had just one difficult season after the next. But God, in that difficult season, came and brought them manna from heaven. He led them through a pillar of fire and clouds, and he showed himself that he's God and he's for them, and he promised them so many things. So, but it was a difficult journey for the people. And so Miriam and Aaron and Moses, they were a great team, right? But Moses' personal choice of who he married got them upset. And they didn't just say, "Man, I don't like your new wife's feet," you know. They didn't make it, Cushite, that's actually a darker skinned woman, so a black woman. And man, Moses fell head over heel. He's like, "I like that fine woman." He knew what was good for him, right? So he made that choice. That was his decision. It was a personal choice. But Aaron and Miriam fell in that trap to pull God into their complaint. And when you pull God into it, he ain't having it. God wasn't too happy about it. This was a personal thing. It could have been a personal matter. But what they did is they made his choice, they turned it into a spiritual leadership choice. And they said nothing about the marriage. They said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Huh? He's not that all. He's not all that. Right? Sorry, my German comes through sometimes. I mix my words a little bit. So, hasn't he also spoken through us? Huh? We have an opinion. We should be asked. There's a lot of things like that. They should have an opinion. They should be asked, but maybe Moses didn't even know that was a problem. So isn't communication and stuff like, it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy. If you ever led something and you're like, some people are disgruntled about something, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I said that, or I didn't surely mean that. And so we can get into a lot of, attitudes at times. And I have been there, and maybe you have, but I surely have gone down that road. So now it says here, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Wow, this Cushite woman must have married a beautiful man. I mean, it's true, she was beautiful because he had an eye for her, but look, to be married to the most humble man, wow, what does that look like? As I'm looking to my husband, right? No, I think it's a strong humble. At once, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, you three got an issue. Come on out. And I want you, you know, it sounds like God said, aha, I found something that I do not like. Come on out. I want you to see God's heart in that. God's heart is always for restoration. Okay? So he's like, well, we got an issue here. Come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you, because it's the three of you that are in this situation. So the three of them went out. There was a connecting, a coming together. And God made sure it was happening, right? So it was, for that time, it was a divine manifestation. That time was huge when God came down. So God came down and said, hey, hold it right here. Can't go forward like that. Come here. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent, summoned Aaron and Miriam. And so all three stand there. And then God says, Aaron, Miriam, come over here. And then he said to them some really beautiful words that ring in my heart every time I read it. And he said to them, when there's a prophet among you, like Moses, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Wow. Wow. For the Old Testament, first of all, God manifests himself. He sees the problem there is, and he lets them know how much he backs up Moses. That he's not like so many of the prophets that he gives dreams to their share or a prophetic word, that he actually knows him face to face, talks to him face to face, almost like a New Testament revelation that we now can have. As I said to you, no eye has heard, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for us. We now in the New Testament, being born again on that foundation of Jesus, we get to be like that in our prayer time, talking face to face, worshiping him face to face, hearing his word, knowing what he has for us. But even in the Old Testament, because Moses was faithful in God, all God's house, he treated him like a covenant partner. Wow. That is beautiful to me. So, you know, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And, You know, we are all made in God's image. Do you get mad and disappointed sometimes? Especially with all this stuff that's going on in society that robs our young children from dignity. And there's so many things that sometimes make me mad in our society because I see it's not God's best. And it's like here too, the anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. He's just like, this is not okay. You know, this is not okay. As a mom and a dad, sometimes we have to set boundaries and we have to say, hey, this behavior or your attitude or what you've done is not okay. And it's that very boundary that we set that helps people to change. If we all say it's all good, like American Idol, everybody can sing, everybody's, you know, it's like some people come to American Idol and they can't even keep one tone, you know, it's just like, and they were like, I know I'm good. My parents told me I'm good. And you're just like, oh, so sad your parents lied to you. Because we have all giftings in different areas. And singing, it might not be yours. It's not mine necessarily. I love to sing, but I'm not up here singing, right? So there's my son would not like that. He makes fun of my voice all the time. So, but he has a good voice. And I'm so grateful he does. He follows his father in his father's footsteps. But So here we are. God is a little beefed. He's, you know, it says anger, but he didn't lash out. He just withdrew. He said, "I'm not happy with this. I'm, you know." So what I like, what's coming next is when the cloud lifted, and there's Miriam and Aaron and Moses. Miriam's skin was white and leprous. It was a special disease. At that time, and it also was contagious. And so her skin became as white as snow, and Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed." That was dumb. Why did I even think that way? How many times did you put your foot in your mouth? I have. And you're just like, why did I say that? That was just, my attitude was just not good. And, you know, if we find ourselves where we're like, that was foolish or that was wrong. If we're ever honest, come on, we all have those moments, right? And so what I like about Aaron and Miriam, though, they realized it. And they didn't just walk away. It's the way it is. No, they realized in order to restore what had been broken through their gossip and their rebellious heart and hardened heart, what had been broken can only be mended through true forgiveness. And they were so quick. They were so quick. It didn't take them years to say, "Oh my goodness, please, Lord, I ask that you do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed." And it talks about, let her not be like one that has no future anymore, like a stillborn baby. You know, it's like, let her please have a future. And Moses, the most humble man on the earth, was a really good shepherd because his heart wasn't hardened. He had compassion and he said, he cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her. Please, God, heal her." And then the Lord said something to him that I think we have to watch out that it's not that we don't take it as punishment. But look at it. It says here, it talks about a Jewish tradition. If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? And he said, confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. Restoration will happen. Restoration will happen. Give that time, 7 days. 7 days. Let her be outside the camp. And so that's what happened. And I love the 7 days, and I was questioning, what about those 7 days? What about those 7 days? What does it mean, 7 days? And I, you know, with all the other scriptures in 1 Corinthians and then Hebrews, I found that, you know, God worked as he created the earth 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. And I want to say one more thing. No, it's coming later. The repentance that Aaron had and Miriam If we narrow repentance down to only mean that we're sorry for something, have you ever had a kid had to say to his brother, I'm sorry? And they're like, I'm sorry. And it's not really repentance. I mean, I see that all the time. I work in preschool. What would you say? I'm sorry. And it's like with attitude, right? But have you ever seen somebody who's really sorry? That's when relationship is restored. So if we narrow repentance down to only mean that we're sorry for something, then we will have repented enough for forgiveness, but not enough for transformation. Ooh, is that good? Yes. So do not just repent from sin. Repent to transformation. Because if you just repent from sin, a lot of times you fall over and over and over and over and over and over into that habit. But when you repent, that actually means when you go this direction and you see that wasn't right, it actually means you repent, turn around, and go the other direction. And then relationships and callings and the will of God can be restored. So I encourage you this morning to take repentance to a higher level, to a God level. A society says, well, it's good enough. It's a little loud. To be sorry, it's not good enough if it doesn't lead you to something so much better that God has for you. All right? So the 7 days stands for perfection, glory, God's rest, and completion. So whenever that time was that Miriam wasn't bitter about Moses anymore, when she wasn't contagious in that bitter well that she carried, and when she could become a viable team member again, when she could just have respect and love and be whole on the inside and being healed in her own heart, when she could be restored by God, know who he was, when that perfect time came, that 7 days, when she rested from her own works, from her own stuff, from her own trying so hard, when she rested and started to step into faith in Jesus, in his plan, when she could rest with the help of the Holy Spirit, then she truly was free. And God has that for us. He wants us to step into faith and enter that rest from our own works, from our own hardened hearts. And he says, today, when you hear my word, don't harden your hearts, but be soft, because I, the Lord, want to enter. I, the Lord, want to come in and meet you. I, the Lord, have a plan for your life, to build your life with you as a covenant partner and make a difference. So when you come and see me, you can lay down gold, silver, and costly stones. That's my heart's desire. That's my heart's cry. That's my prayer for this house and for our young and for our old people. Live in covenant with Jesus Christ and your life will be beautiful. Thank you.